Last summer, Carl Nassib of the NFL team, the Las Vegas Raiders, made an announcement on his Instagram.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest.
Over a year later, Nassib is without a team and looks destined to be teamless for the foreseeable future. Nassib is not alone. Other stars of the game who came out have subsequently struggled to keep their jobs, even after much celebration for their bravery in coming out. One of those players is R.K. Russell, who himself came out in August of 2019.
My truth is, I'm a talented football player, a damn good writer, a loving son, a caring friend, and a bisexual man.
It was a big moment for the league. And the star of that moment, American football free agent R.K. Russell, joins me now. Thanks so much for being with us.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Let's wind back to 2019 when you finally came out. Can you tell me what that experience was like?
At first, it's exciting. I am, in a sense, getting a chance to introduce myself in the truest form to not just my friends and families, but to my colleagues, and to a sport that has given me a lot and that I've also given a lot of my time and sweat, blood, tears, you know, sacrifice. So there's the excitement, but of course, there's also the fear that being the first active person to come out, that I won't sign another team. You know, a fear that my colleagues won't understand, that I'll be shunned from the NFL, a league that is known to be very masculine and, you know, a manly man sport and tough. And a lot of the times culture tells us that LGBTQ plus people aren't those things.
And those fears ended up being founded. When did you realize that your career in football might be cut short?
You know, there's not really a moment until players retire or officially retire, make that statement. There's never just one moment. You don't make a statement. You don't stop trying. You stay ready. You do everything that you're supposed to do or that you're told to do as a professional athlete. And the phone essentially never rings.
So there's still time for Carl Nassib to find a team. I assume that is what motivated the op-ed that you wrote on the subject. But I was interested because one of the things you wrote was, instead of just focusing on the newsworthiness of their announcement, we should focus on how staff, fans, teammates, and people treat them when they do. What do you mean here that we should focus on the way people react to them?
I think that sports has made great progress in making coming out more of a celebratory thing than what it used to be a couple years ago, which was, of course, like this very traumatizing thing. They've done a good job to switch that around. I think that's a great first step. I think the next step, what I'm talking about, is the treatment of players in the league, the instances of homophobia in the stadiums or in your locker room or in your fandom, you know, using Carl and the Las Vegas Raiders for an example, because that's the current one we have. You know, to have a moment like where you have a player come out and the reaction is so great and founded, and then, you know, not long after, the head coach, you know, emails of John Gruden are surfacing, showing that maybe the Raiders top to bottom aren't as inclusive or aren't as forward thinking, or at least this one person is.
So you mentioned John Gruden, who's now the former coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Some of his emails were leaked, revealing that he said the NFL shouldn't draft, quote, queers. He used a homophobic slur when he was referring to Roger Goodell and others. And yet in public, he said, quote, I learned a long time ago what makes a man different is what makes him great. His public-facing persona, obviously very different from how he was in private. I guess I was pretty surprised to see so many people with the NFL saying Gruden is an outlier. Do you think that's true?
I don't think it's true just because of the nature of how we're even brought to this, or this is being brought to light. It's not like another, you know, executive or coach or someone in the NFL took a stand and was like, hey, Gruden, you can't be saying this. Hey, John, you know, this isn't right. Emails were leaked. In the nature of emailing, you don't send emails to yourself. He was having a conversation with someone. Just by the nature of these emails coming to light, he is obviously not the only one that thinks like this. And at the very least, even if this isn't a thread throughout the NFL or throughout male professional sports or leagues, it's something that's being tolerated. It's something that's being pacified. And a lot of the times, tolerance is even worse.
I wonder what you think is perhaps barring progress in the NFL. Not that the world is a embracing and welcoming place to LGBTQ people in general, but there are other industries. The military, while it has its problems, has made this transition to allowing people to be openly gay much more smoothly, it seems, than the NFL. What is causing the antipathy or maybe the resistance?
I think a lot of the time it's a lack of leadership from the NFL in terms of the thinking and the ideology for so long has been, in my opinion, backwards. Decades ago, it was there are no LGBTQ plus football players. Like, it just doesn't happen. And then, you know, it was like, well, if there were, you know, it'd be a distraction. It'd be bad for the team. And then we moved along to, okay, we're accepting. We are encouraging. We just don't have any players come out. Then they kind of put the onus on the players. Like, we need more of you to come out. All things that our time shows wrong. And I think that when you have 10,000 of us, or I think right now just a handful of us, you have LGBTQ plus players that have played in your league, played in your locker rooms, been there, done that, so to say, and creating a foundation that we can all agree on is the best step forward.
So one former player, Ryan O'Callaghan, came out after his career was over. Mm-hmm. He said there's at least one player on every NFL team who's in the closet. And my heart breaks a little bit thinking about that, imagining that, you know, someone, maybe that's their choice, but maybe they are in the closet because they are afraid of losing their career. I wonder what you would say to maybe some LGBTQ plus young people who are hoping to become NFL players and just don't see it as possibly a welcoming place.
Yeah, I mean, that is, like you said, a heartbreaking thought. I was a player like that in a locker room at one point. And I approach that subject with care, but also hopefully with understanding that we are privileged to be NFL players. We're privileged to do what we do and to have the abilities that we have and to have the career that we have. So as heartbreaking as that is, there's a kid somewhere who can't come out or maybe can't even stay in the closet, who is at risk of violence from his community, maybe even from his family, who's at risk of self-harm. We see that LGBTQ plus kids and teens hurt and harm themselves higher than non-LGBTQ plus teens. And then add on top of that, yes, a young kid who has dreams of playing the NFL and not seeing that as an option, you're then taking away that hope. So, you know, I never want to force someone to come out. We all have our different journeys. We all have our different things holding us back, the things that society has put on us and imprinted on us, and the people we believe we should be versus the people that we are. But when you think of the kids, when you think of the people in worse situations than you, the people who do not share the privileges that we have, it's hard not to reach out to them. I would tell any LGBTQ plus child, you can be whatever you want to be. That's something my mom told me at a very young age, before I knew anything about who I was, before she knew even about who I was and who I would grow into be. You can be anything that you want to be. The person that you are is only defined by you. There are people in this league and in this world that are just like you. If you don't see anyone, you can look at me. You can look at Carl. You can look at Ryan O'Callaghan. There are people. And I promise you that we will do the work that there are more of those figures as you grow. And if you become one of them, then you will do the same.
You know, I've tried to imagine what this whole experience has been like for you. Like, if I had worked so hard and with such determination to reach a dream, I have to imagine I would feel so betrayed to have achieved it and then have it taken away, possibly just because of my own identity. I've tried to imagine what that must feel like. And I have to ask, how did you get from there, a period of time in your life that must have been very painful, to where you are now, where you're able to speak about it, where you're advocating, and you become kind of an activist?
Yeah, I mean, the surprising part about that is, while I was in the closet before I came out, that is all I thought about. That fear of losing it all, that how hard I've worked, everything I've done, I sacrificed. I felt literally the things that you're saying was my own internal monologue. But the funny part about truth, and especially self-identifying and loving yourself and being proud enough of who you are, and they call it brave, but I call it survival, just being proud enough and choosing me and coming out in the way that I did so publicly, my life after coming out has been better than any year that I spent in the league, has been better than any locker room I've been in, has been better than any play that I've made while playing. And it sounds crazy and it sounds ridiculous. And, you know, there are times where obviously I'd still want to play, where I love football and I'm, you know, even mad or upset, or I'm like, oh, that should be me. But when I look at my life, really when I look in the mirror at myself, I'm so proud of that person. I love that person so much, and I knew that it was not always like that. So as hard as it was, not getting that call and being now so far out from playing, my life is so much better. And I know I was that person in the closet that was like, that's BS, I'm not hearing that. But as someone who's really lived that experience, that's the truth. Because at the end of the day, I loved what I did, but I didn't love myself. I loved the guys in my locker room. I loved that camaraderie and that brotherhood, but I didn't love me. And that blocked any happiness that I could have got from playing football.
Writer, LGBTQ plus advocate, and former NFL player R.K. Russell, thank you so much for your time and the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.